Kindly open your Bible with me tonight. We'll go directly to the preaching before we have the announcement and the recognition tonight. Book of Matthew, chapter 27. Kindly rise, please. Matthew 27. We'll have the chance to recognize our visitors afterwards, so we go directly to the Word of God. In Matthew 27, verses 45 to 53, Matthew 27, we begin reading verses number 45 up to 53. Share your Bible, please. Matthew 27, 45 to 53. Let us read this responsibly up to verse number 53. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." And came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the city, holy city, and appeared unto many. Let us remain standing for prayer. Gracious, loving Father, it is with humble hearts we again approach thy throne of grace tonight, thanking you for what happened that day on Calvary. When your Son died in our stead, you laid on him the iniquity of us all. He endured all the shame, the pain. Everything meant for us was laid on him. And he gladly endured the shame and the pain of the cross. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God spared not his own Son, the Bible says, but delivered him for us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah said 700 years before Christ was born. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Tonight, Lord, I humbly commit everything to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will take full control of thy message being preached. Take full control of our minds, of our hearts. May Christ be exalted. Nobody be exalted but him, your Son, and you, God. Holy Spirit, I pray for your power, your enlightenment, your conviction that we need. Save souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Kindly be seated, please. I'm speaking a subject tonight entitled "The Shadow of the Cross." The shadow of the cross. From verses 45 to 53 tonight, I would like to say this to start with, that surrounding Christ's death on the cross was a chain of miraculous events that gave testimony to, number one, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Number two, they gave testimony to His claims as the Son of God. I said a chain of miraculous events happened while He was hanging on that cross. Number three, these miracles put together, if you put them all together, and I would like for us to look at five miracles that took place when Christ was hanging on that cross. Number three, these miracles put together form an unbreakable chain of evidence. This declares Jesus Christ as truly the Son of God and the redemptive Savior of the world. He is the Son of God and the redemptive Savior of the world. There are five miracles that are recorded in our text this evening. First of all, please take note. Number one, the miraculous darkness that settled over the land in verse number 45. Two, there was the rending of the veil in the temple. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil, katong kortina nga baga kayo, na nag-separate between the holy place and holy of holies in the temple, natunga to say it was rent in twain. And it started from top to the bottom. Simply means God, the righteous, holy God, was reconciled to man. And reconciliation came from above to our place. So there was, number one, the miraculous darkness that settled over the land, verse 45. Number two, there was the rending of the veil in the temple. Number three, there was the shaking of the earth and the rock splitting. Can you imagine rocks like Wamurakadagpug mga balay? They flew into the air and hitting each other, and they were breaking up there. Earthquake happened when Christ was hanging on that cross. And mountains did shake. And there was earthquake like a volcanic eruption that happened when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross. That's number three. And then number four, in verse 52, there was the opening of tombs. Ang mga lubnganan ng abri because of the shaking of the earth and the rocks were flying into the air and mountains were shaking. And while it happened, the Bible says Christ was hanging at the same time on that cross. And while it happened, the tombs opened. And then many of the saints, meaning believers, they stood up and went into the holy city. They went home. Many of those, and I would like to tell you, did they go to heaven? No, to simply Jerusalem. And like Lazarus of old, Lazarus was raised by Christ, but later on he also died. Because the first one to be resurrected is Jesus Christ. Nobody and no one has been resurrected before Christ. Those were physical things. Now we will dwell on that if we have time tonight. Of the five miracles that took place surrounding the death of Christ on the cross, I want us to focus on the first one because time will not permit us tonight. There were five. So we limit our minds on the first one, darkness that overshadowed the land. So don't worry, there was darkness that overshadowed And I'd like to make it clear and simple today, and getting some information about the crucifixion of Christ. One miraculous darkness. There Christ was crucified there from 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 hours, 10, 11, exactly pagka 12, darkness filled the land. Like that. Quickly, like somebody pulling off the switch. Did not happen gradual. It happened from 9 o'clock. Jesus Christ was crucified 6 whole hours. From 9 o'clock to 12, exactly, darkness filled the land. Dr. J. Vernon McGee says, our Lord was put on the cross at the 3rd hour, which would be 9 o'clock in the morning. By 12 noon, man had done all he could to the Son of Man, the Son of God. Then at noon hour, darkness settled down, Dr. McGee says, and that cross became an altar on which the Lamb who taketh away the sin of the world was offered. Matthew, Mark, Luke all tell us that darkness fell over all the land from noon until 3 o'clock when Jesus Christ died. Imagine 12 o'clock up to 3 o'clock, 3 hours, wala kay makita. From your nose, it was total darkness that happened. The supernatural darkness that came across the land when Christ died reminds us of the 9th plague that occurred under Moses before the children of Israel left Egypt in Exodus chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. God sent that darkness in the time of Moses. And I'd like to say God sent the same darkness over all the land as Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. As Dr. Isaac Watts put it in his hymn, well might the sun in darkness made hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin, on his song, alas, and did my Savior bleed. That's there. Friend, if you and I were there standing, as what we had done this morning, Ma'am Ellen a while ago whispered to me and said, naka-adto na ko sa Jerusalem, kumam, naka-adto na po ko ganihang buntag. I took you there for a special trip to the message. If you and I were there watching the crucifixion of Christ, you were there standing from 9 o'clock and then 10 o'clock and then 11 o'clock and then came 12 o'clock sharp. There was darkness. We might ask with great amazement, what is the meaning of strange darkness? We ask no more. We ask no more. What's the meaning of this? Total darkness. I think we all agree when someone stands and say, this is the shadow of the cross. The shadow of the cross. Landong sa cross ni Ginoong Hesus Kristo. And that's the message tonight, the shadow of the cross. There are 5 major thoughts tonight that I'd like to share. First of all, we want to consider the miraculous darkness that settled over the land. Verse number 45, please. Verse number 45. From the 6th hour, meaning 12 o'clock, 12 noon, there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th or 3 o'clock hour. The darkness from 12 until 3 o'clock is a subject full of meaning that only, not only because of the significance of the cross, but because darkness itself is an important concept throughout the scripture. From Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 to Revelation 16 verse number 10, you so good the Bible. From there, Genesis 1 verse 2 up to Revelation 16 and verse number 10. The words for darkness and light occur approximately 390 times in scripture. Over 160 times for darkness, 229 times for light. It is not without meaning that the first act of God in Genesis was the removal of darkness by the creation of light. Let there be light. There was darkness. Then God says, let there be light. And there was light. I want us to look at the background of this first miracle. There were five that I made mention a while ago. Dun ay background, you see, to exactly know the Bible record account, from 9 o'clock up to 12 o'clock, 3 hours, the sun was open. Man did everything mahimo niya sa pagpakaulaw. Those men were wagging their heads. Those men were making jokes, making fun of Jesus Christ. While the sun was open, the light was clear. While he was hanging there from 9 to 12, there were actually 7 sayings of Jesus. The first 3 sayings were uttered during the time, first 3 hours. The last 4 sayings were uttered during darkness. Did you get what I mean? And so, before they actually hung Christ on the cross, he had been into 6 actual trials. 6 actual trials. 3 Jewish trials and 3 Roman trials. Christ had been illegally condemned and turned over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified, as we had made mention this morning. He was crucified between 2 thieves. He had been chosen in the place of notorious Barabbas, who was released because Pilate gave in to the cries of the Jewish mob. All of which serve as a clear picture of the work of Christ as an innocent Lamb of God taking the place of the guilty. Christ was nailed to the cross from 9 to 3 p.m. First 3 hours, daylight was open, 12 again to 3 o'clock, there was darkness over all the land. During the first 3 hours, 3 of the 7 sayings were uttered by Jesus. Number 1, the first saying is recorded in Luke 23 verse 34. Well, Jesus was there. Imagine Jesus said, Father, this is the first saying of Jesus. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. After have been scourged by those evil soldiers, I made mention this morning, his back was open literally. And if you have the chance to look into the wounds of Jesus Christ, makita ni mo mga vital organs sa sulod because nangalangkat na tanandre. After all, they had slapped him, 600 soldiers. They blindfolded him and would box him, and some of the soldiers would pull off his beard and then pull it to the point na nangalangkat tanan. And while they were pulling off his beard, blood came into the ground. And they boxed him, they slapped him, they spit on him. They laughed at him, they make jokes, they make fun of him. But in spite of all this, Jesus Christ cries and Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isaiah says his visage, his face was so marred, was so destroyed, was so deformed than any man. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Christ was aware of his mission and purpose. He came down for the sin, their sin, so they all, as well, as you and me, as well, you and me, before we even. Second saying was, Christ's second saying, recorded in Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or the repentant did cry to him, said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, I am a sinner. For the very first time of his life, he had killed people, he had robbed people, but for the very first time, I can't understand it, but somehow the Spirit of God and the Word of God got hold of me, and I can understand it. Can you explain exactly what happened when you were saved? I'm sure nobody can understand it. Nobody can explain it. But somehow the Word of God just captured your mind. The Word of God to the Spirit of God captured your heart. And that if you're so melted. Somebody told me today, said Pastor Ingay this morning. Well, he told me a while ago. Well, you were preaching, wala akong ginakumot this morning. Gusto ko wanto sa tubangan, pero maulaw ko. And he told me the story of his life. I was so touched. I said, Sir, karong gabi, napay chance. Karong gabi, pwede pa mo forward. And I see him around here. I will not tell you who it is. That man said, Father, Jesus, Lord, please remember me. In Christ's second saying, he was also personally caring and listening to the cry of the dying people. During the hour of his greatest need of his life, the weakest point of his life, the most painful experience of his life was on the cross. Yet he took time to care for the dying. He took time to share his love and his care for the needy. That is Jesus Christ. When you come to him, all that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, thank God, cast down. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I ask you today, do you believe God knows everything? Well, I want to tell you four things. Kabalo ka ba nga ang Ginoo na hebalos tanang mga butang? Apan dunay upat ka butang nga dili mahibaluan sa Ginoo. Di sa kamaong buhaton. Number one, God does not know a sin that He does not hate. Wala kahibalo ang Ginoo og sala nga di niya galigut-gutan. Number two, God does not know a sinner that He does not love. God hates the sin in your life, in our life, in my life, but God loves still the sinner. God does not know a sin that He does not hate. God does not know a sinner that He does not love. Number three, God does not know a better plan of salvation than faith in the finished work of Jesus at Calvary. I don't care what kind of salvation plan you present to God, but God has only one way. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, God does not know a better time for you to be saved than right now. We always say, next time, but the best time of God is now. You know what Jesus says? What Jesus said? Said, the repentant sinner said, the thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did Jesus say? Ugma na do, kaligo sa. Ugma na do, bayari sa mga utang. Basta sunod semana na. Jesus Christ said, today! Today thou shalt be with me. Amen. In paradise. Again, I ask you, naluwas wala. Come on now. Open your eyes. Luwas wala. Luwas. Ikaduhang pangutana, buhi patay. Buhi patay. But I can understand people, pastor, dili pa pwede kay buhi patay. My friend, look into your Bible. God save only the living. Third saying is recorded. I want us to open the Bible there. Verse John 19:25, please. This is so important to see here. You never run out of things to know in the Bible. I have been preaching for 38 years on the cross, and I never run out of things to preach. Discovering every time I study new things. John 19, verse 25, you know, this is the third saying. Verse number 25, while he was hanging on that cross, before the actual darkness came, verse number 25, there stood by the cross his, come on now, mother. Who was his mother? Mary. And his mother's sister, Mary. The wife of Cleopas. And Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene, upat ka Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Mary Magdalene. They were there. And among the 12 disciples of the Lord, usaragyo na bilin sa crucifixion, and that was John the Beloved. Peter was there, but he was following afar off. And the one who wrote this. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, that is John the Beloved, kibali first cousin sila, kaya yung mama, si Mary, sister ni Mary, sa first cousin. So Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by while he was hanging on the cross, whom he loved. That is why we call the beloved John, the beloved disciple. He said unto his mother, said, woman, behold, look at your son. I said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple, John, took her unto his own home. John took her of Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, not the Immaculate Mother, as his own mother. In Christ's third saying, he was recognizing the presence of his beloved mother and the disciple and commending her to John's care. In this, he was executing his last will and testament, yet he was also thinking of you and me. He made sure that when he was gone, somebody would take care of his mother. Please take note that Christ called Mary not mother, but simply woman. You know, Jesus Christ was simply destroying the basis for viewing her as second mediator, the Queen of Heaven. She was the mother of his humanity, but as she stood before him on that cross, she was just a woman who, as with anyone else, had to believe on him for salvation. She got saved the same way you and I got saved. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, 47, Mary said, my soul that magnified the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my. What? She needed a Savior, therefore she is what? A sinner. Only a sinner would call God my Savior. Amen. If she was immaculate, if she was sinless, she would not have said, my Savior. Is an amen to that? Amen. Notice the darkness number two, because time will not permit us. The darkness and the silence. It was now noon. The sun was high in the sky. Suddenly total darkness falls over the land. It was accompanied by solemn silence. Before that, people were passing by, and those passers-by would wag their head, yango-yango nila, da, and they make fun of him. The religious people would say, well, let us see. You said you save others, let us see if he can save himself. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. And they would cry. They would laugh. Make fun of him. Darkness fell. And you know what happened? There was silence. There was darkness over all the land. And we cannot tell exactly what happened, if it happened worldwide or just the entire land of Palestine. I believe it was local. Can you imagine the scene now? Just imagine now, total darkness, what must have become the mode of the moment. There was no abusive language. They all stopped. No wagging of their heads, no jeering, and no making fun of him. Only horror, only amazement, shock, fear, suspense, and the anxious whispering of the people. Unsa man ni? Unsa man ni? Unsa ni dito mo? Fear. Look at the source and the cause of the darkness. Where did the darkness come from? What caused it? Some said it was an eclipse. This was the time actually of the Passover and the time of the full moon. So according to a scientific study, dili pwede nga doon na eclipse na may tabo. It was impossible at the time. An eclipse never occurs suddenly, di ba? It happened suddenly as did this incident. An eclipse only lasts for a few minutes, never 3 hours. Some said it was natural phenomenon. Still, we don't believe on that. We agree it was an act of God. It was the hand of God. The only proper answer is that this event was a miraculous solar eclipse or a cosmic sign in God the Creator who placed the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets in their place caused it. It was God directly intervening in nature. And as a miracle, we do not understand it. We only have the evidence it happened. Above all, darkness was fitting symbolic act of God. God was there. And number four, look at the silence and the meaning of the darkness. This darkness interpreted actually death and Christ's death and mission. When Jesus told the people that he had come to save them from their sin, they were offended. When he said, I am the Son of God, they took up stones to stone him. Another time they said, show us a sign. Why don't you show us a sign from heaven? Now, they had a sign. And sign, the word sign means miracle. During the earthquake, rocks were flying into the air. Lightnings and thunderings. Can you imagine? Earthquakes in the mountains were shaking. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the fear of the people? It was the lightnings and the thunderings were proclaiming to the world. It was proclaiming a message worldwide, bringing a message to the world. And as you observe verse 54, a Roman centurion, a Roman officer standing close by and got the picture. He saw it. He was there. He was in charge of the peace and order. He was in charge of guarding the whole thing there. Siyang commanding officer. He was there. He saw everything. At the close of the event, he exclaimed truly, you know what he said? He was pagan. He was unbeliever. You know what he said? Truly! No doubt, he this is truly, this was Son of God. Darkness number two exhibited the universal magnitude or the extent, the immensity of Christ's death. This supernatural darkness proved the importance of this person and the death that he was dying. His death was for man's redemption from sin and the reconciliation of man back to God. No wonder why Paul could say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it was the only event in human history that took place when man sinned and man as a sinner was reconciled to God. Man as a sinner was given the chance to be back and brought back into the presence of God. Number three, this darkness demonstrated God's holiness and the barrier sin creates. As Isaiah declared it, demonstrated that Christ was judicially smitten of God. He was smitten of God. Showed that the Holy God has turned His face away from His Son. Can you imagine? And I had a long time in trying to study that. At first, I got the meaning myself. I said, how will I be able to translate it into the minds of the people? And I got this. Holy God turned His face from His Son. His Son said, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Yes, He turned His back from His Son in a judicial sense, not in a relation or relational sense. Let me say that again. Let me explain it. Most of the judges, if they are related to the accused, would say, I will inhibit myself. But just for the sake of imagination, Kundunai judge, he loves his son so much, but his son has committed a crime. Will the judge forgive him because he is his son? No. He will be separated. He will make a distance as far as his son is concerned in a judicial sense, not in a relational sense. God, as the ultimate holy judge, has turned his back from his son in a judicial sense, not in a relational sense, because relationship would always be there. Or the judge, as I have made mention, he loves his son so much, but he has to render his verdict according to what is right, based on what is right. The Son of God was there while hanging on the cross. God made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God has laid on him the iniquities of us all. God has to consider his son. God has to see his son, render his verdict. For the wages of sin is death. He has to allow his son to die in a judicial sense again, not in a relational sense. It demonstrated the barrier, the holiness of God and the barrier of sin creates. It demonstrated the prophecy of the doom that awaits the unbelieving. The scripture teaches about the coming day of darkness. When God judges this earth, when Jesus comes, there will be darkness. And darkness is also used in the Bible of the final day of darkness. Great white throne judgment will come when all unbelievers will be cast into outer darkness. Darkness. Outer darkness of hell. There will be darkness. People will be crying for mercy. People will be eaten up by worms, but worms will not die. There will be darkness in that lake of fire forever and ever. Here's a message. That if you refuse to accept Christ today, hell is awaiting. And this darkness reminds us it was our sin that nailed Jesus Christ on the cross. You don't have to see people from far distance from us. You don't have to see other people. My dear friend, we want to see it this morning. The reason why Christ suffered, the reason why Christ endured the cross, the reason why they nailed Him on the cross, because of your sin and my sin. When I got saved at the age of 8, our teacher stood and she had the plaster story of Jesus hanging on the cross. There were 7 of us kids then. And you know, she told us, John 3:16, said, mga bata, kinsa man idi si Jesus Christ, gilansang siya sa cross. Kabalo ba mo mga bata, anong gilansang siya sa cross? I was 8 years old, November 5, 11 o'clock, November 5, 1972. That morning, said, gilansang siya tungod sa imong sala. There were 7 of us sa imong sala. And she pointed her finger right on my face and said, tungod sa imong mga sala. And I cannot understand at the age of 8. Nagapangurog na ko. Exactly, I understood that I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. And I prayed like this, said, Lord Jesus, You died for my sin. I repent of my sin the best I know how. I would like to receive You into my heart. Into my heart. A while ago, I wrote this as I close. Over the darkness at present, many of us are going through some dark valleys in life. We go through some dark valleys as far as life experience is concerned. But over the darkness at present, there is light. There is hope. Why? There is hope. After the darkness fell on earth, the next miracle was the veil. You can hear the cracking. Behind it is the Ark of the Covenant. Walay taong pwede mutanaw sa Ark of the Covenant. I can hear the priest ministering inside the holy place. Sibat! Because they can see the cracking of the veil. It provides the way open. In the Old Testament, you go into the tabernacle, the temple, that place is restricted. Off limits, off limits, off limits, off limits. Nobody can approach God. Inside the Holy of Holies, only one person, the high priest, was allowed to enter there once a year. But now the way is open. Thank God. During the Day of Atonement, people were lining up, and they were giving list of their sins to the high priest Aaron. Aaron, please tell God, I confess my sins to God. Nobody can approach God. But now, thank God, there is hope for us. You and I can come inside the throne of God anytime. Why? The way is made open. Over the darkness, there is present light. There is hope. Beyond the dark, I see the victorious one, a mighty voice of hope declaring, our moment has come. The blood says, it's done. Darkness will subside as we march. Move forth. Your word is alive. Your love now the strength of our song. The blood says, it's done. Now your light shines bright like the raging sun, spreading hope like fire. Deception will turn and they'll run. The blood says, it's done. We have found a way. You are the way. The life, the truth, your light shines over darkness. Yeah, it cannot be overcome. Your word is ever prevailing. Yeah, it cannot be overcome. In the shadow of your wings, there is refuge, there is peace. You're the healing that lights the way back home. I told my minister I will go home to spend some time to study, to try to finish my outline. I had a hard time studying this week. Since Friday, I really had a hard time studying. Woke up early, I woke up in the middle of the night, but I tried to write and write, I cannot write. Our experience in life, like trials, I look at the life of Job, we're now bringing a message down to a close. Our experience in life, like trials, like sickness, many times in the Bible are compared to darkness. Job compared his experience to darkness. There are darkness we experience. Dark hours of trials when you want to smile but you cannot. All you have is tears. But thank God, Psalm 30 verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. There is a morning light. It will all come to pass. John 14, verse 1 to 3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming. Amen. There are experiences here, dark, painful, sorrowing. But there is a day coming. The glorious morning of resurrection is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. In one of these days we will meet Him. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sorrowing. Jesus will come and change our bodies, our vile bodies, into perfect, eternally perfect bodies. Thank God for that. He's coming back. And when that happens, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Last week, I went home to see my mother in the hospital. And I know, God knows how much I am attached to my mother. I thought everything was well. Last Friday, we were busy on our soul winning and preparing for the church. My sister called me and said, our mother is calling for your name. Maybe, ikaw na lang gihulat, she's calling for your name. I said, if I go home, if I will travel, be back. She said, you know, Lord, di na ko pwede biyaan ang simbahan. We have a big day coming. If I have to drive there, I told my Mercy, you stay, I can go. But she said, kabalo siya na, kung ako'y mo drive pa uli, tingalig mo lupad ako. And so I said, you stay. I said, Lord, you know how much I love the work. And I know I have put my emotion to the work of God. I called my mom. I said, pagka Monday ma, wa nagyukoy, imo na tanan. Are we early there? Sometimes we wish when we serve the Lord there, we wish that there are no restrictions and we wish there are no sickness to hinder us. We sometimes we serve the Lord without, we just commune with God and we just serve Him without problems and without hindrances and without trials. But there are darkness in this life. But thank God, the morning is going to come. Weeping may endure at night, but joy cometh in the morning. From 3 o'clock, I will bring this message to a close. From 3 o'clock, I mean from 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Count the number of minutes. 3 o'clock. While darkness portrayed the sin and darkness of man and the wrath of God upon sin, it also dramatically demonstrated the love of God, thank God, acting sovereignly in history to deliver us from the darkness of Satan's kingdom and sin and death. Thus, just as suddenly as it had come, the darkness, katung tangitnit kaniabot this week, the darkness was suddenly dispelled. It disappeared by the light of day. From 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock 3, 2 o'clock 10, 2 o'clock 50, 2 o'clock 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 3 o'clock, the light came suddenly. And then heard to speak again. Jesus Christ, the last thing He said, "Tetelestai," meaning it is finished. He was able to say this because during those hours of darkness, man's redemption had been accomplished once for all. "Tetelestai" was Jesus' way of reporting to His Father that the job He had sent Him to do was done. It was accomplished. It meant mission accomplished. There is now hope. There is now victory. There is now peace because Jesus Christ died on the cross. I imagine them. Philippian jailer, he was tasked, gidakop na si Paul and Silas. They thrust him into the inner prison. Instead of complaining, Paul and Silas were singing in the middle of the night. Darkness filled the place. While they were singing, earthquake came. And all the doors were open. Their bonds were loose. Waking out of sleep, the Philippian jailer, who was literally a pagan person, knew the price if those prisoners had fled. He knew that death for sure would come to him. Took his sword and he was about to kill himself. Paul cries that, "Do thyself no harm. Do not do it. We're all here. We're here." You know what? What is the first thing he demanded? He called for a what? A light. And he was looking at them. They were all there. What a picture of someone who is in darkness, unsaved. You cannot see. You don't understand it. But the light must come. When the word of God is preached, the light will spring out and will lead you to know and will lead you to understand and it will lead you to embrace Jesus Christ into your heart. And then it led him to say, I said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You can be saved tonight. Are you going through some dark valleys in life? Weeping may endure for a night. Jesus Christ is coming back. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more struggle. We will see the Lord. And after continuing hanging there, you know what happened. While the rocks were flying into the air, tombs were opened. And many of the saints, I cannot imagine how many hundreds of them, they just stood up. Katuma kalabira kaniyanto, they stood up. Anak Amerikana na. Asa rin ipatahi? Ah, namatay na akong tigpatahi si Mar. They stood up. Can you imagine, just for wild imagination, each of those whom they were rejoicing. Buhi sila. They died later on, but it signals there is death, there is sickness here, but one of these days, He's coming back to change this body. Don't get so in love with your bodies. Isusari mo kuskus na, we will die. But one of these days, He is coming back. He is coming back. There is hope. Thank God He died for you. Are you going through some dark valleys in your experiences in life? Are you missing some of your loved ones? One of these days, Jesus Christ will bring them back. One of these days, we will see the Lord. And He says, shout, victory, victory. After darkness, there is light. Let us all stand up, please. Tonight, we stand before God. If you've never been saved, you can be saved. You receive Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart. He will come. Just open your heart. If you are a child of God, you know, you just want to pray. God, there are times that I feel I'm going through some dark valleys, but Your word has encouraged me tonight. It's not the end of the road. You're always there. You never leave us. It will all come to pass. Heavenly Father, again, I pray, give us the victory as we give the invitation tonight. As You have saved more than 60 souls this morning, again, demonstrate Your power in our midst. Allow us to see the power of God moving and working miraculously in our lives tonight. Touch our lives. May we never become so hard, insensitive to the Word of God. Lord, like the disciples of old, speak, for Thy servant heareth. Your Word is precious. Your Word is sweet. Thank God for giving us the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What song are we going to sing?
Let's sing song number 84, Room at the Cross for You.
As a Christian, you want to renew your faith to God. You want to ask God to strengthen your faith. And you want to see Him here at the altar if you know you're saved. Kung dili ka paluwas karong gabi, I certainly beg on you to please come. Come up where you are and say, Pastor Ingay, gusto kong ma-save. Gusto kong maluwas. We're going to sing this invitation. What song is that again?
Song number 84, Room at the Cross for You.
There's room at the cross. Always room for the unbelievers to be saved. Always room for the believers to find strength and peace and blessing from God. Only God can bless us. Only God can strengthen us. Only God. You don't have to come all the time to confess sins, but you have to come to ask for His blessing, to ask for His guidance, ask for His peace in your life. That's between you and God. I'm out of it. Between you and God, you want to meet God, just thank God. He died on the cross to provide you that hope, enabling you to face the dark experiences of life, because there at the cross, He hung and said, Tetelestai. He's there, waiting for us tonight to come and meet Him. There's room at the cross. Let's sing it prayerfully. Members, please be alert if people come to be saved. Let us sing verse 1 of this song. Come on now. Sing it, Christians.
Sing verse
find
1.
God at the altar. Come on now. Come on. There's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. Christians, will you come? Will you come? Those who need to come to be saved, you come. How about you? There may be some who need to come to be saved. Will you come?
Is sufficient for me, and deep is its mountain, as wide as the sea.
You need to come to be saved. You need to come to be saved. I need a word to please him.
For you,
Sir Martin, just find that we need to be saved.
There's room at the cross.
Gusto ka na
masave?
About you?
There's still room for us. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
There's plenty of room for you Christians. You ask for His blessing. You ask for His power in your life. Somebody asked me, Pastor Ring, I watched The Secret. Why is it that if I find you preach, there are people coming to in front? The Secret, he said, I said, dili ni pagandahang lalaki. The secret about power is here. The secret is the altar. The secret is prayer. You want God's blessing in your life? You want God moving in your life? All have a heart longing for God. I remember before, as a worker here in church, matingala si Pastor Chad, every night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, I would come to the altar. Because I felt thirsting for the presence of God in my life. Tonight, this is the time we seek God. We seek His presence. We seek His power in our life. We seek His fellowship, His dominion in our lives. So we sing what verse now? Verse 2. Come on.
Sing verse 2.
You need to come. You come. Come on. The altar is waiting for you. You come. You need to come to be saved. You come. I need someone here. Doc. How about you, Baba? Come on now. We invite you, come. Come on, say yes now. Say yes now, now. Come on, children.
Before it's too late, there's room at the cross.
When the song is still in progress, those who want it to be saved, please come. Please come here at the altar. And say, Brother Greg, you want to be saved? Come to the altar and be saved today.
There's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross.